Hi and welcome to The Light Leaders, a podcast for light workers and conscious entrepreneurs who are passionate about raising the consciousness of our planet and take action to make it happen. I'm your host, Alexis Lember, and I believe that we are currently in the middle of a global awakening of humanity, that right now is the time for heart-centered conscious people to step into our power so we can replace your paradigm and bring the conscious new earth into manifestation. So here, I'll interview a variety of people who lead this movement of creating this new earth, whether they do it through a meditation course, a conscious podcast, or an ethical cryptocurrency. I call them light leaders. If you resonate with our mission, please help us spread the message by sharing this podcast. We're having more and more content getting censored, so we need your help. Make sure to stay in touch also by registering to our newsletter on thelightleaders.org. If you hear little nuggets you love and you'd like to share, screenshot this episode and share on your Instagram stories, make sure to tag us at The Light Leaders Podcast and we will repost. I have a question for you. How can we build a new earth if we keep using the old systems? We can't. And this is why I'm such a fan of decentralized cryptocurrencies. I believe the old paradigm of centralized power and control is crumbling before our very eyes. The debt and money printing of governments is out of control. 35% of all US dollars in circulation today have been printed in the past 10 months. We are on the verge of a collapse of the old banking system and its currencies. I believe cryptocurrencies to be a safer store of value, an incredible investment opportunity, and a more fair system to build our societies upon. I am passionate about helping other conscious people learn why cryptocurrency is the way and how they can join the movement, learn more about how it works, and create their own secured and balanced portfolio. With my friend Fabrice that I've had in this podcast, we have created a crypto workshop for beginners. You will find more information on thelightleaders.org/crypto. Hi, and welcome to this new episode of The Light Leaders. Today, I am again with Michael Healy. You were here about 6-7 months ago, episode 102. And if you haven't listened to it, it's an amazing one. We talked about, more in general, the tokenization about the economy. And today we'll dive into more specifically how it's going to change the world. Before we start the discussion, Michael, I'll do an intro again for the people who might not know yet who you are. So Michael Healy is the co-founder of Unit Ventures, building, investing, and powering the token-driven projects. He's focused on social impact and positive change through education, entrepreneurship, and empowering individuals. Michael got into digital tokens in 2010, whilst building the Android app for WikiLeaks and fundraising using Bitcoin when the government froze all bank accounts and donation portals. Michael has built several successful businesses with exits ranging from ChatRide, a peer-to-peer video encrypted conferencing technology, RateMash, a social network, and the WikiLeaks Android app, and many niche mobile apps used by millions of users worldwide. So you've definitely been in the space for a long time and an authority in it. So thanks for being back. I'm super excited to have you again because last time we had a more general conversation. Now you are launching, I think by the time we release that episode, Unit Ventures will be launched. The Light Leaders token, which is the token of our mastermind that we do with the Light Leaders, should also be live and released. Even an Alex token that I'm preparing, I don't know if it'll be ready by that time, but I'll share more about that. So exciting times. Thanks for being here again, Michael.
Thank you so much, Alex. Really grateful for being here. Mm. I'm super excited for the LLT, Light Leaders token, as well as the Alex token. I think, you know, it's really cutting edge in terms of what's possible in community building, in terms of personal tokens. We're really in such a groundbreaking point in society, you know, where value and the economic system can be so greatly improved. You know, it's worked extremely well for a lot of people, but it can work really well for everyone. So that is really the why, the underlying motivation to create a more fair and equitable system which works for everyone.
Because can you share a bit more about that underlying philosophy in a way, which is that we have a lot of abundance that came from the modern world, right? But it has also a lot of inequalities and things that could be better. And that's where you jump in.
Most definitely. So, you know, there is so much resource in the world in terms of, you know, food, in terms of real estate, places to stay. Yet there's a lot of homelessness. There's a lot of hunger. There's a lot of people who are living paycheck to paycheck or really struggling. And it's not because, you know, there's certain people in power who are greedy and they're like, I want people to be poor. It's really, you know, or the founders like Jeff Bezos or, you know, Mark Zuckerberg, who are inherently greedy, is because of the way the system is set up. So, you know, in the way the world works at the moment, the founders, you know, people like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, you know, the owners of things, as well as their investors, control most of society. You know, they start a company, they take some money from investors. Mm-hmm. And then this leaves the employees, you know, who worked relentlessly and incredibly hard to make them successful, as well as the customers get no piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. So how we can create this more fair and equitable system is through the use of tokens. It basically allows value to flow around the economy much more freely and allows for value created to be distributed. Mm. So everyone gets a piece of the pie.
And that's interesting because I've had people in this chair that have different opinions. And actually what I do with the Light Leaders is there are different parts of the spectrum. And personally, I'm thinking sometimes, okay, is it... some of the people who control that really take advantage of people not having access to resources, that I still think is the case, but also the and some people really insist on that. It's all control, but I can see also how it can be well-intentioned people that are taken over by a system that makes organizations greedy without necessarily having the people at the top being like evil or so greedy. So it's, you have more, let's say, no, optimistic view on human nature on what's on why there are problems at the moment.
Most definitely. And you know, people like to criticize, you know, the World Economic Forum, the you know, the Bilderberg Group, you know, the organization like this, really strong and powerful people. And I think you know, I used to, you know, run a popular social network, a few million users, and then I fortunately got to work in an investment fund, like a venture capital fund. Mm. And then I remember in 2013, the head of the fund told me he was going to this event called the Founders Forum. So the Founders Forum is the most exclusive tech event in the world. To be invited, you need to have started a $500 million company. And I was like, wow, this is super cool. This collection of extremely, you know, successful and accomplished people. And I was like, well, I'd like to attend someday. So the following year, 2014, one of my friends who is a member of the community and goes every year, he said, hey, Michael, you know, there's this thing going on. And I was like, wow, you know, I'd love to, I'm going to go. So I wore a suit, some smart shoes, and went in through the golf course. It was about an hour outside of London. Mm-hmm. And then I got to meet a lot of these people, you know, people who you read about in you know, newspapers and magazines. I would listen to the founder of Instagram, you know, standing in front of me talking to the founder of Skype, who's, you know, explaining something to the founder of GoPro, you know, the future of photography and video conferencing. And I'm like, wow, it's amazing. These people are human, you know, they're just like you and I, you know. I think the problem is a lot of these people are so disconnected from the everyday person. Mm. So, you know, when you're flying around in private jets, you know, when you've got hundreds of millions of dollars or billions of dollars, it's very hard to relate to the struggling single mom who can't feed her kids, you know, or the college student who needs to choose between food or rent, you know. So I'm super optimistic because having met a lot of these people and spent time with them, I realized that, you know, a lot of them are going through you know, a lot of anxiety or stress, thinking that if they don't, you know, make more money, they're going to find it tough to please their shareholders. Yeah. Their shareholders are going to remove them, and then they're going to have to be incredibly embarrassed and have to do something else. So I'm, as you say, quite optimistic and think that, you know, these people really do want the best, you know, if it's possible that they can create a system that works for everyone.
True. And to be honest, they could also be like the puppets in a system where some people would control, but that wouldn't be this person directly. It'd be like in other realm. But anyway, that's not going to be the focus.
For sure. Absolutely.
I just thought it was an interesting different perspective.
Most definitely. Thank you.
Yeah. So tokens.
Yeah.
How it's gonna look like 2-3 years from now? Will I have hundreds of tokens? Will I have the token of my favorite restaurant?
Yeah, great question. So I think, you know, tokens are very abstract, you know, but for people who don't know what it's a token
what's a token?
They've never spent it, they've never used it, they've never created it. It's like, whoa, this is so new. So a good way I like to think about tokens is to think about two previous things that changed the world. One was the internet and the other was the mobile phone.
Okay.
You know, when the internet came out, you know, people you know, were thinking, how does this email thing work?
Yeah.
You know, do you have an email address?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have an email address. Do you use it? I check it once a month, you know, and I check in, you know, nobody usually emails me, you know, or someone asks, you know, with this email thing, what is this at sign? You know, or should I choose a Gmail or a Hotmail or Yahoo? It's so complicated, you know. I prefer just writing letters, giving to our postman, and you're going to get it. And there's no chance of you losing your password.
And I'll cut you also. We've talked a lot about this in the first episode. So we'll do this one maybe shortly as a recap.
Cool,
and then
cool.
we'll go a bit deeper.
Amazing. So I guess, you know, the cool thing about tokens, it's kind of like creating, you know, what happened to newspapers? You know, with the use of the internet, what happened to, you know, landline sales is going to happen to banks, it's going to happen to governments, but it's very hard to see this future. So tokens are basically an easy way for you to share value, distribute it. If you have a project or an idea, it helps you implement and make it successful.
So how it looks like, for example, let's say in 3 years, I have my Light Leaders tokens, I have Unit Ventures token, have
Alex the social, token.
My Alex token, that's like kind of, but I also own my favorite restaurants, I also own the social media platform I use.
Absolutely, your favorite gym.
20 influencers.
Yep, top, your local musician.
Yeah. We actually talked, my friend Yano, who does the mastermind with me, he goes to CrossFit every morning.
Amazing.
And he talked to the owner. And they started having that high vibe chat around, oh, and you could, like, you know, if you come every day, then you get rewards in tokens.
Absolutely. So, it's a great idea because the way society is built at the moment, the incentives are not extremely aligned. Meaning if you have a good restaurant, you know, I benefit because I love your tasty food and you get paid for providing me this food. It would be nice to take this a notch up where it's like, okay, now I'm on your team to make sure the food is good. So we cannot just feed myself and feed you, but feed everyone, you know.
And so we'd have like hundreds of tokens like this.
Millions,
in the gym case, I liked it because it was also something real in person. So you need obviously a bridge there, someone who validates that you, or maybe you just tap your card and you came.
There you go.
But you can get rewards that incentivize good behaviors.
Absolutely. And it's
going to pay you for good behavior.
I totally agree with you, man. And it's going to change the idea of value and money. Because, you know, value and money stresses a lot of people out. You know, if you, some people, you know, you got two jobs, you choose the one that, you know, pays you a bit more, or you compromise your fulfillment because, you know, you want, you know, career prospects and opportunities. And the cool thing about tokens, it's going to really provide a nice safety net. Similar,
because I have people, we talk about financial freedom and abundance.
Absolutely.
And often they talk about having different streams of income. So here you'd have actually
hundreds of streams of income. Absolutely. So everyone will turn to be a micro investor.
Okay.
You know, they might not have a job and they just spend their day looking at different restaurants, looking at different people and going, okay, I believe in this, this, this. Yeah.
So then that's a really good intro for tokens and for what you're doing. People who want the more overall perspective on the tokenization of the economy, again, go and watch episode number 102. We had a really, really good talk about it. And now, more specifically, because you're launching your platform, I'm interested in, okay, how is it going to look like? So you're launching the token and you're having a pre-sale, and then someone like me with the Light Leaders the Light Leaders token for the mastermind, I'm going to launch my token on your platform. So you created an ecosystem where it's very easy to create a token. In a few clicks, you can create it. Now, the good side of it is makes it really accessible to the everyday person. Now, when I talk to people who are deeper into the cryptocurrency movement, there are some fears around the fact that it, I know it's not closed, but it looks a bit like a closed ecosystem. And so the questions are around, do I own my keys, which is the fundamentals in cryptos, also around interoperability. Can I exit the ecosystem? Can I deal with other ecosystems? Because I think a lot of people in the web 2.0, we've been using amazing tools, but unfortunately they really want to keep you and enclose you in their system. And when you want to collaborate with other systems or exit, it's really hard.
Has walled gates.
And that's gardens. A fear I've seen a lot of people have with what you're doing.
I totally agree. It's a completely, it's an interesting point of view. I think it's you know, when people lack a bit of depth in terms of what unit is, it's easy to kind of fill in the blanks or, you know, make some guesswork. I suppose, you know, what we're focused on is making sure that the token economy becomes a reality.
Yeah.
And what in doing so, we want to make it such that there is no chance of, you know, this movement failing, and there is no chance for, you know, a centralized group to, you know, control people or change our values. So the way we've structured it is kept every very simple on the base layer and made it such that, you know, we imagine a society where it's not going to matter which blockchain you issue it on. By default, it's going to be open. You know, if it's closed or, you know, there's wall gates, people just won't use it. You know, so we're of the belief that, you know, we just want to enable it, make it super simple. And I can totally understand and relate that people, you know, experience in the crypto and blockchain will look at what we've created and go, well, I don't, I'm not used to things being so easy, you know, with crypto tokens and blockchain. It's so complicated, you know.
Even and also because you enter an email and you don't collect a wallet. So if you mint your token, for example, on TrustSwap or on different services now that exist, it's through connecting a wallet, which in the eye of a crypto enthusiast, like, oh, this is Web 3.0. Well, your platform looks like a bridge, but then it can look a bit.
I totally agree with you. So it is kind of similar to, you know, when email kind of emerged, you know, in the early 90s, when things like Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo was around, people needed to set up their own email server. You know, so if you wanted a company email, you know, you couldn't now use a system which, you know, helps you set up the email. You need to, you know, physically set up a server. You need to connect it to the domain name service, and then your email will be up and running. It was extremely expensive. You needed to be technical. And then, you know, things like Hotmail, Gmail, Yahoo launched, which made it super easy to use email. So now, using crypto, using tokens, using the blockchain, people just use typically centralized exchanges, you know, Binance, Coinbase, here in Indonesia use Indodex. And it's nice, you know, this past year, people have started to use things like PancakeSwap, Uniswap, SushiSwap, though it's still super difficult for people to use, you know, and people are super scared to mess it up. You know, it's complicated. People are like, okay, I don't trust this. I'm just going to use Binance or Coinbase. And we think that there needs to be a natural bridge and transition. But we are totally convinced that everything will be decentralized. And we love the idea that people hold their own value. Because, you know, we live in a world now where, you know, if most people wake up tomorrow morning and their credit cards don't work, their banker doesn't pick up their phone or reply to emails, they didn't take out any cash, what do they do?
Yeah, I have a friend who told me just in Ubud this morning, she wanted to go to the bank and she didn't have the passport. And they refuse access.
It's ridiculous, right? So having this, you know, custody and self-sovereignty, I think is so, so important. And we're going to look back in this point in society and go, wow, I can't believe that, you know, billions of people around the world didn't have this self-sovereignty. It's going to be like, you know, now if you're, you know, a five-year-old, you kind of get spoon-fed, or maybe three-year-old. I think 5-7-year-olds maybe can feed themselves. And we're going to be like, wow, I can't believe that most of humanity, you know, worked extremely hard for their money and they just gave it to this thing called a bank. You know, and they earned, you know, tokens issued by, you know, the 190 governments that exist around the world.
And basically with the platform unit, now it still has quite a large degree on centralization, which is necessary often to launch things. And let's say people trust that you're decentralizing as you go. For example, in the context of owning your keys, if I register today, I don't receive my keys, but it's going to come like in 6 months or a year.
I would say in recent weeks. So behind the scenes, your keys are generated, you know, and a lot of this complexity is happening behind the scenes. And, you know, by default, we just make it super seamless. I suppose the next step is, you know, complete decentralization, where even if us as the, you know, the 60, 70 people core team and, you know, our, you know, various hundreds of people working on UNA at the moment were to be removed from the project, or we just completely left, there's no chance of this shutting down. So, you know, the really cool thing about Bitcoin is, you know, it isn't depending on a single person. It isn't depending on the miners. It isn't depending on the core developers. It's just so decentralized. Fair enough, you know, it could be more decentralized if there were more mining pools there, if there were more developers, though it's really a spectrum. You know, you've got one level of centralization, like things like Uber, things like Facebook, things like Airbnb, and you've got complete decentralization where, you know, you've got millions of tokens. Because even the idea that, you know, some Bitcoin maximalists, people who love Bitcoin, they say, why are you making another token? Why are you using Ethereum? Just use Bitcoin. For me, this is super centralized. You know, the idea that, you know, there's only one blockchain to build on Ethereum, you know, this is extremely centralized.
Yeah, it's always a spectrum, decentralization.
Absolutely. So I'm confident that we're going to see a world where there's, you know, 500 million tokens amongst the 7 billion people that exist. And every year, we're just going to get more and more tokens that exist. And instead of banks deciding, you know, you were going to give you a loan, or, you know, venture capitalists saying, you know, I like this person, I'm going to give them money, you know, or angel investors. We believe in a society where money just flows much more freely. So, you know, if you want to start a video agency, if you want to start a restaurant, if you want to start a TV show, you just, first thing you're going to do, create a token, tell your friends, they'll buy some, or you give them some. You know, you need some work done, some filming, you need some food, you need some, you know, whatever equipment, you give them some tokens, or you sell some tokens, you give them, you know, whatever cash, and then it's just going to increase the chance of things succeeding, because entrepreneurship now seems super difficult, it's risky, because there is all this like question mark in between you starting and it succeeding, and this streamlines it.
And everything's open source, I guess. Are you like me, like if it's not open source, you don't really trust any project?
Most definitely. I think, you know, open source by default is super key. I think this treasury that we have is going to be super key. So, you know, other than, you know, supporting friends projects, you know, like the Light Leaders, LLT Light Leaders token, or the Alex token, I tend to not invest in projects now, because I think we're just so early in this ecosystem and everything is super highly valued without any underlying fundamentals. So this treasury provides this level of fundamentals.
Okay, let's go to the treasury just after. Just on talking about the ecosystem and how it will look like to have different coins, just to rebound on that. Can you share a little bit about how you designed Unit, which is on Substrate, so that's the Polkadot ecosystem, right? Polkadot not being live yet, and how this works, and also how you see interoperability develop as we go, because at the moment different blockchains, there are bridges, but it's not seamless. They work a bit in closed ecosystems. So that's why people are like, oh, it's better to use Solana, it's better to use the Ethereum network. And I can see when I interact with people, it's complicated.
100%.
So how is it going to look like, and what are you helping to co-create there in terms of interoperability?
Most definitely. So, you know, there are several projects that focus on interoperability, and interoperability, what that means is different blockchains talking to one another. So let's say you wanted to receive Ethereum, you know, and I hold Solana, or I hold DOT tokens, Polkadot. I'll be able to send it to this thing called a relay chain, which bridges our transactions across. Because the way blockchains are built at the moment, they're very fragmented. You've got like one blockchain, you've got another blockchain. You need to send it to an exchange and trust them to send it back to you. Otherwise, you can't go between chains. The cool thing about Polkadot, it was started by the CTO of Ethereum, Gavin Wood. And he basically built Ethereum, you know, like maybe three engineers built it, and it's been wildly successful. You know, Vitalik started it in 2014, they launched it in 2015, and you know, 6 years later it's worth, you know, hundreds of billions of dollars, right? Unfortunate thing is very few people actually use it. So if you look at the active usage, it's, you know, tens of thousands a day. Like for a multi-hundred billion dollar protocol, it's really embarrassing that tens of thousands of people use it a day. So really what's next is Gavin, who's a friend, he basically stepped away from Ethereum and said, okay, how would I do this if I was to do it again? And he basically built this thing called Substrate and Polkadot. And Substrate is a blockchain builder. So if you wanted to build your own Ethereum, let's say if you had the Light Leaders blockchain, you know, the Light Leaders chain, instead of, you know, building the entire blockchain yourself, which is kind of redundant or very complex, you can use this thing called Substrate, which is still not easy, but it's basically a bunch of tools and building blocks for building your own blockchain.
And when you build on Substrate, it creates interoperability more easily between those chains built with Substrate?
Good question. So you basically need to connect up to the relay chain, which is like the parent chain. So you can think of blockchains now as, if you're familiar with the word intranet, they're kind of like a closed off internet. Yeah. So if like this is the Solana internet, this is the Binance Smart Chain internet, this is the Ethereum internet, right? But it's not connected to the bigger internet, is the intranet, sorry. These are all intranet, separate intranets. Yeah. And the cool thing about Polkadot, it basically creates this parent chain. It's called,
and for the internet, that was the big revolution, really, to connect those different
servers
intranets.
And intranets, absolutely. So, you know, now people think, oh, it's too late with Bitcoin, it's too late with cryptocurrency, it's too late with blockchain. But, you know, the party hasn't started, you know, like, this technology is going to change the world in ways that we can't even imagine. You know, the internet, you know, biggest company in the world now is, you know, technology companies, you know, things like Netflix, things like Amazon, things like Facebook, things like Apple. And we think, wow, these are huge. Blockchain companies are going to be bigger than that. You know, Bitcoin is at, you know, 10, 40, 50, 30, something thousand. I'm confident it's going to $50 million each, you know, in the next 10, 15 years. And why that is...
The question is, what will you buy with $50 million at that point?
It's a good question. I think it would be a combination of, you know, $50 million being worth less than $50 million is worth now, though it still will be very valuable. You know, I think the inflation that we're going to see, so a car, a house, let's say, you know, if you want to buy a one-bedroom house in Lisbon now, it's $500,000. I think it's going to become $2 million. Mm. So it'll go four times more expensive, five times more expensive. You know, you get a plate of food, it's now, you know, $7. Mm. I think it's going to cost $40, $50. Mm. You know,
like when?
I say this decade, in the next 5 to 10 years. Like, I think, you know, now
so we're still quite high inflation, but nothing crazy. Like
nothing crazy, like not like mass. Yeah, because you got to keep value in something. Mm. And there's still a lot of people who are transitioning to this new system. So it's kind of like, you know, newspapers, you know, they're still around. You know, but when's the last time you physically had a newspaper, you know, or magazine? It's a little bit more rare. Same with landlines. You know, people do make phone calls. They don't just use things like, you know, Telegram or WhatsApp or Signal. You know, it does still exist, but it's definitely less relevant than it was before. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that interoperability, you built super exciting. It in with Unit.
Yep. Most definitely. And what we're waiting for now is the Polkadot chain to go live. And it's, you know, it was announced, you know, the past few days. It's a matter of weeks away. It's not months. Oh, really? It's a matter of weeks.
I thought it was more early 2020.
Yeah. So the Polkadot Foundation, the Web3 Foundation, Polkadot Parity, they haven't given a specific date, you know, because I suppose they don't want to be held to this. Though they announced this week, that's a matter of weeks, which I believe, because Kusama, you know, has gone live with the parachains. And it's...
Yeah, so then Unit wants to be a parachain. There's an auction system, but basically from that level, and there's often other possibilities, then you can interact with other chains in that ecosystem.
Yeah.
But that doesn't solve, for example, Unit with Ethereum, for example, or with Solana.
Oh, actually it does. So the cool thing about Polkadot is they've actively worked on all of these bridges.
Okay.
So, you know, Solana bridge, Bitcoin bridge, Ethereum bridge. I have a friend working on a Stellar Lumen bridge.
Okay, yep. So my Lightleaders token created on Unit, can I easily see it like make an ERC20 token, and it can also be
most definitely linked across. So really where we're moving forward with Unit is where when you create a token on Unit, you know, it's powered and secured by the Polkadot relay chain. It also will set up tokens if you want on all or as many chains as you want.
Wow.
And what it will ensure is that the total supply of all of these chains adds up to the total supply that you mentioned. And it's not depending on you to keep that safe. You know, so if I bought some of your tokens on Binance Smart Chain, I know that I don't have to trust you that these Binance Smart Chain tokens are linked across to issuing it on Cardano, issuing it on Ethereum, because, you know, Unit takes care of this cross-chain interoperability powered by Polkadot.
Yeah. And then in the future, we won't really care about what chain, at least from a user interface, right?
Absolutely. And even from a creator perspective or technology, it really doesn't matter. So, like, you know, same with internet companies. You know, there are a bunch of server side or, you know, computer languages. Like, there's one called Node.js. There's one called Ruby on Rails. There's one called Python. You know, most people who use the internet, they have no clue. You know, PHP, like all they care about is it works. And as a developer, you know, if you know PHP, you know, using Python, using Ruby on Rails is very similar. You know, you have a database, you have a front end, you've either got an API or you do server side. It's really quite similar. So that's when it becomes commoditized, meaning, you know, whether, you know, you're powered by Ethereum, Bitcoin, you know, it's,
Okay, I'd love to talk about the treasury, because that's one pretty revolutionary idea.
Thank you.
Around Unit, right? Yeah. So you change with Unit, there's a treasury that's linked to it that's meant to give more transparency and protection to the investor.
Most definitely. And, you know, this treasury concept is super, super simple. And, you know, we're going to look back at it and go like, wow, I can't believe every single token existed and created didn't have a treasury. We were just, you know, speculating and playing in this crypto casino, you know, because, you know, for instance, I had lunch with a friend yesterday. He said, Michael, you know, there's this project. It's gone up 3 times in price this week. I don't want to miss it. You know, what if it goes up 3 times again? Yeah. You know, and for me, I'm like, wow, you know, it's crazy that, you know, this is a project without a treasury. And my friend, you know, who's quite a shrewd investor, he has no clue about how the performance of it is. So the treasury basically grounds it to some form of economic reality. Mm. So it can't go up three times this week and go three times next week and four times next week. Mm. And then it's like, okay, like how do we tell if it's real or sustainable?
So the treasury is a place where you lock in on the blockchain assets that have a value that can't be touched even by the creator, guaranteeing a certain value to the investors.
Most definitely. And it provides a way you can compare different tokens and go, okay, which one is more risky and which one has more potential to, you know, recoup this risk. Mm. So, you know, for now we have about 8,000 tokens that exist in the world, you know, and it sounds like a lot, but it's really not. And if you look at the 8,000, you know, other than the top 150, a lot of these projects, the team have left, you know, it's kind of died, you know, and even the top 100, 150, most of them even don't have products. You know, I thought in 2017, you know, next year we're going to see real products. We're going to see real problems being solved, real services. And now we look back at it and we go, okay, like, you know, if you ask all of these, you know, diehard crypto blockchain fans, okay, like which tokens have you invested in? Which of these have you actually used? You know, and if they've used, what is the amount of value created by each one? It's just so new and young. So it's kind of like, you know, I was an early developer on the App Store and the Play Store for Android. And very few of these apps had a business model. It was kind of fun. It was just like, you know, people made a fart app, which had, you know, lots and lots of users, a torchlight app, you know, lots and lots of users. And now the app ecosystem is so much more developed. We have about, you know, 1.5, 2 million, 2.5 million apps. And, you know, back when I started building apps, there were maybe like, you know, several thousand apps. Yeah. So it's really come so far. And the problem with something like the Play Store, the App Store, it's controlled by, you know, Google or Apple. It isn't a completely open ecosystem. And I'm really excited by, you know, things like the blockchain, things like digital assets, is because it's permissionless. Yeah. The idea that anyone can do anything and the fact that it's trustless. So the idea that, you know, if someone creates something, you have to potentially assume that they're a bad actor and they have to prove over time and you can verify it that they're a good actor. Mm. Yeah. So Google's motto was don't be evil. And the cool thing about the blockchain, the crypto space and the digital asset economy, token economy, is that it's moving to where you can't be evil. Yeah. Because it's just out there. Mm.
And so that's what the treasury helps. And so you talked about, permissionless, trustless, also very transparent in the world of blockchain. And that's the same with the treasury you build. So you have a treasury you can't touch, and you can also see the history.
Absolutely.
So you can project future cash flows in a more financial analysis. Absolutely. Way. And there's a bank also. So this is something people can touch. They have leaders, they have flows, too. But at least it's transparent.
Absolutely. And if someone wants to put none of their funds into the treasury and keep it in the bank, it's okay. It's just clear. Yeah. You know what I mean? And this level of clarity and transparency is so important because if it's not there, then people just have to assume, you know, they have to guess, they have to kind of think maybe this, maybe that. And the cool thing about this is just very clear. You know, if a project is losing money every month, it's got no chance of profitability and people still want to support it, that's okay. You know, just provide that level of clarity.
Mm. Yeah, and what you mentioned to me is there's a floor value based on the treasury that can be guaranteed and redeemed for any time. And then there will be a speculative value also.
That sits on top of it, if there's a potential for future success. Yeah. It's maybe a little bit similar to a bank. So a lot of banks, you know, you put in your hard-earned salary or your money or your investment profits into the bank and they're loaning out money. So at all times, you know, a bank might be sitting on, you know, 10 billion or 100 billion or, you know, $10 trillion of value. Right, but if everyone asks for that money tomorrow, they don't have that.
It used to be 10%. I think now it's even lower.
Even lower, and there is no accountability there, and people also have no clue. You know, they can't check. Okay, how much of these funds are there? And it's a complete black box. So you kind of give money to your bank, and you're like, okay, you know, in the worst case scenario, if they can't pay me out, the government will bail them out. Mm. And when the government bails them out, as we saw in 2008, as we were seeing, you know, what will probably happen in the next 12 to 18 months. Everyone suffers because the government is basically, you know, the public bailing out these privatized financial institutions.
So in 2008, we didn't have the crypto raft. Do you feel if that happens again at a bigger scale, which is pretty likely, as you said, next 12 to 18 months, do you think that's going to be a major transition to cryptos?
I think so. I think it's going to take another big crash. So the issue with the crypto blockchain and digital asset space is it's not ready. Yeah. Like the tools are not there yet. The scalability is not there. You know, things like Ethereum can't handle that many transactions a second. Things like Binance Smart Chain are a little bit centralized. Solana people talk about. But, you know, Solana went down 2 weeks ago and, you know, the team managed to get it up You know, the idea that, you know, if you can just restart and turn on a blockchain, then it's a bit problematic. You know, the fact, I mean, that introduces a level of centralization. So I'm excited for this underlying technology to be so robust that everyone in the world can use it and there's no chance of it.
So maybe next crash, there'd be like a lot of more early adopters that make that transition.
Most definitely.
People already in it that go deeper in it, but wouldn't still hit the top of the bell curve.
100%. So 2025 is where I think most, you know, early adopters like yourself or I, people understand finance, people understand technology, people who care about, you know, this new economy changing the world. That's 2025. 2030 is when, you know, your local farmer, you know, the person who works retail jobs, you know, they're going to have a portfolio. You know, they're not going to take a retail job if they don't have a stake in the shop, you know, things like that.
And back to Unit, do you also make it easy for people to pay with the tokens? So for example, in the case of that CrossFit gym, can I easily pay my subscription?
Most definitely. So the cool thing about Unit is we have 6 different features, which make it really easy for people to build community, to actively use tokens. The first one is search. So that basically allows you to search by tags, and you can find exactly, you know, someone who's willing to accept this specific token. So you can, within, you know, the community tab, there's a search field. So that's like a marketplace. The second one is stores. So this basically allows you to add products and services and subscriptions for people to pay using the token or, you know, another token. And the third one is contests. So this is where you can give prizes. So for instance, you could say if you come to a gym and you share a picture on social media, or if you come to this many classes, you get rewards. You know, that's super, super cool. The fourth one is polls. So this is super relevant to governance. So it's like, should we open the gyms on Sunday or should we give everyone a compulsory rest day? You know, and people can vote based on the number of tokens or based on the number of people, and that can be interpreted. And then we have news. This basically allows people to submit news articles and vote on it.
Actually, I want to have you back for governance.
Yeah, I would love that. I think governance is so important. You know, I think one nice way to think about it is imagine, you know, the whole Earth was one government. So you have the Earth government, which is kind of like the United Nations, right? Or, you know, the greater powers. And then you move it to the right, you've got continent states, things like United States, things like China, things like ASEAN, or Southeast Asia, Association of Southeast Asian Nations. And then you move a bit to the other side, you've got things like Indonesia, you've got things like Thailand, you've got things like, you know, United Kingdom, South Africa. And you move a bit to the other side, you've got, you know, Singapore, Monaco, the Vatican City, you've got this idea of city nation states. And then I'm excited for even moving to the other side where you've got, you know, neighborhoods, and then you've got towns, you've got buildings, and then you've got individual businesses.
We'll do another one because that's a big topic. But with Unit, you can already see how many tokens people have when they vote, so it can help also. It's not perfect because then you don't want just the rich people the invested people, let's say, to have a voice, but that helps also in the weighted view of it.
Most definitely. So this is radical transparency. You know, the idea that, you know, they say voting is confidential, but then it's easy to fix. You know, the problem with confidential voting is, you know, you can give a voting result and you can't really verify it. So we're excited where, you know, it's very clear, it's very transparent what people voted for. And everyone just being okay to stand by it.
I have a few questions just to challenge a little bit. One is on the regulatory aspect. So, okay, I do a business and all of my friends can become micro investors. How does that fit into the picture of regulations and where, you know, if you invest in a project, for example, in the US, the SEC is here to protect you. So if you don't have $1 million, you're protected.
Accredited investors.
You're protected, you can't invest it.
Most definitely. So we take regulation extremely seriously. Yeah. We think, you know, the regulators' rules exist to protect people. Yeah. You know, what happened in the early 1920s, 1930s, there was this thing introduced called the Howey Test. And it basically prevented people from scamming others in the sense that some people would, you know, say that they have an idea for a farm, raise a bunch of money for the farm, and there was actually no farm. You know, there was also a movie, The Wolf of Wall Street, you know, where, you know, you see how cruel it is, you know, that elderly people with their hard-earned savings get conned into buying something which doesn't exist, or, you know, it's very different from actual reality.
There's so many scams in this crypto market at the moment.
At the moment, we look at everything as in the crypto as almost like a Ponzi scheme or a scam. You know, it's kind of depending on newer investors, or there's just no transparency. What we're optimistic though is that we think this treasury, which is very simple, is going to solve a lot of it. It's just going to provide this radical transparency. And, you know, people talk about, you know, total assets locked, you know, TLV, total locked value. People talk about, you know, the market cap being an indicator, but we think that, you know, this is fundamentally broken, and we think it's just a very easy way of not building underlying value. So it's kind of like, you know, imagine the Alex token was valued at $20 million now.
Yeah.
And you created it maybe, you know, a year before, and you don't have a treasury. If you said, okay, this treasury is a good idea, you're basically admitting that your token is not backed up by anything and it's entirely speculative value. And you need to figure out now, how can you create some real value through selling products and services, or demonstrating a real economic value to back up this $20 million valuation? And if you're unable to do that, now you're basically admitting that you're overvalued. You know, so the token will have to crash. A lot of people are going to, you know, get burned.
Okay, but to go back to the regulation, I see why there could be a need to protect from scam. I'm not super aligned that it's necessarily the primary motivation of those boards. But anyway, like, is there a risk, though, if I do that some regulatory board comes to me and says, well, all of those people that invest in your token, they're like shareholders and you aren't registered to do that?
Yep. It's a very valid question, a very valid point. So I think the approach is to approach it in a way where the tokens being sold are not as an investment. They're more like a way of supporting or contributing and getting behind the project. And it's very similar to, you know, a handbag sometimes costs $5,000. You know, and people say invest in a, you know, a Chanel bag, you know, or buy $1,000 pair of shoes, you know, or, you know, and that's like invest in yourself, you know, dress well, you know. But people buying these bags or shoes, they're not doing it because they think, you know, they're going to make tens or hundreds of millions of dollars from it. They're doing it because, you know, they really like the shoes or they want to support. So I would, you know, advise and suggest, you know, token projects to be very conservative in how they approach the project. Don't, you know, promise the world, kind of assume that, you know, everything they do is an assumption, and build up this treasury as the indicator of real economic value. Because, you know, I used to work at a venture fund, I've run a number of tech companies. It's always focused on hyper growth. You know, all the valuations are just skyrocketing and people are throwing money at things to get bigger and bigger so that everyone can raise their next fund. And for me, this isn't healthy. You know, it needs to be done in a very grounded way, which is long-term and sustainable.
Okay. Is it okay if we go for like 5 minutes more?
Yeah, most definitely.
Okay. And so, yeah, I mean, I guess it's not fully within our controls anyway, and we'll see what happens, but it's smart to go in the direction for sure of we're having value rather than being an investor.
Most definitely.
The way it's worded. Another thing I thought about was like, as I create my Alex token, and maybe you have your Michael token.
Most definitely.
John has their John token. Like, you know, with Instagram, there's that status thing, I have more followers than you, and that's been the shadow of Instagram. Aren't you afraid that you create a world where I go like, oh yeah, Michael, your market cap's 2 million. Yeah, okay. Well, my market cap's 10 million. Yeah, like the follower thing on Instagram.
Absolutely. So this is very interesting because it's all about the way you interpret things and your view perspective. I'm excited where it's like, wow, Alex, your token is so much more valued than mine. How can you use that value to support more people? You know, your token is so much more valued than mine. It makes me more of an interesting opportunity.
And look, I'm not blaming the tool. Any tool can be used for good
and
bad.
Yeah.
And I'm just seeing that coming, and that doesn't mean the tool's bad. Have you thought about it?
Absolutely. And I think what this is going to do, it's going to encourage people to support people who are up and coming. So if someone's like, you know, LeBron James, or, you know, you got a big company like Apple, people are going to be like, okay, it's already so big. You know, I want to be interested and support things that are very small and get them to a good state.
Okay.
You know, so someone who's living on the street, you know, going through some mental health difficulties, we want to issue a token for them and support them, get them to a good state. You know, so now a lot of, you know, homeless people, a lot of college, you know, graduates, they're really on their own. You know, maybe their parents, if they have, you know, some support there, or family or close friends. But then, you know, people, you know, are really so occupied by themselves. It's very hard to care about, you know, the person on the street or the person who just graduated university, or even a high school student, you know, or a up and coming athlete. But tokens basically allow everyone to go, okay, this is your dream. I want to support you in your dream, so that when your dream succeeds, you know, I'm able to support other dreams. Yeah. So the money becomes just, or the value becomes just a tool and a piece that people think about alongside and supporting the vision dream.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. And the way I explain it, because I'm actually creating my tokens and helping conscious communities do their own, because I'm fully aligned with your vision. Often I explain it's a combination of crowdfunding, in a way, of turning your customers into investors that are vested in your success.
Absolutely. Also.
And to interconnect projects, that's maybe one thing we can talk quickly about, is how in the treasury, I can have unit tokens and can have the tokens of my men's network and my Tantra group and my good friends who have a token too, which makes that as they thrive, I thrive too. And that kind of financialize oneness almost, or at least a paradigm of collaborations over competition.
Most definitely. So imagine you have a men's circle and I launch a men's circle because yours is really successful. You know, you're going to be like, cool, Michael's launched a men's circle. I'm going to buy into a men's circle and then send over some people from your men's circle to mine so that we both thrive, you know? And I'm going to be like, okay, cool. Can I buy into your men's circle? Can I give you some of my men's circle so you can mentor and guide me? You know, so instead of it being like, okay, you've just started a competitor, you know, it's like, cool, you're helping me push forward this movement. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what we do with the Light Leaders Mastermind. We have a lot of token from the businesses of the people who are part of the mastermind.
I'm a big fan.
So it's like next level mastermind. We don't just share ideas, support each other, promote our projects. We're actually vested in each other's success. We'll invest in your unit token.
Most definitely.
And yeah, that's.
And you know, I'm excited for this conscious economy, you know, the Light Leaders token economy to grow to where there's hundreds of projects and then thousands and tens of thousands, you know, and you can, you know, see, okay, these guys need a little bit of help. This girl is amazing. We want to help her achieve her vision and dream. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super exciting. We could go for another 2 hours as each time, but I'll have you again.
Thank you.
Is there anything you feel you want to cover too that we haven't covered?
I think we've covered almost everything. Maybe I worth mentioning we have a unit master's program where we teach people. It's free. It's 6 weeks about the blockchain token economy.
So I've just joined.
Thank you. Yay. And then we have a unit conference which we're running. So these happen every 6 months. It covers industry, cities, the crypto industry. Yeah. So if anyone's keen to be a speaker or to attend, please ask someone in our community for an invitation to both of these.
You're doing that whole ecosystem also. Most definitely. Which I really like around.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michael. And I'll put a link if people want to create their own token.
Most definitely. Thank you.
And if you have a last word, also can people follow you to start with, and a last word for the listener, feel free to
Most
share.
Definitely. Yep. So please reach out, join our group on Telegram. It's at Unit Global. Or on Instagram, Michael Healy, CO, MichaelHealyCO. Feel free to reach out. You know, I love to support, invest, get behind, mentor whoever's interested to create a token, and really excited for the LLT token as well as the ALEX token.
Yeah. And the people in the mastermind also, we have a Discord group where you're part of it too.
Most definitely.
So sometimes you give great answers there, and we
Most
do
definitely.
Live Q&As with you. So thank you so much for your time, twice on the podcast, twice to the Light Leaders Mastermind extra calls. Thank you so much,
thank you.
Michael.
Cheers.
Thank you for taking some of your precious time to listen to this podcast. If you stayed until the end, I assume it was insightful. So if you like this podcast, please share with friends. Remember that if you tag us in your Instagram story at the Light Leaders Podcast, we will repost. Tell us what you've learned. You can also leave a review on your favorite podcast platform. Now, if you want to stay posted about new podcast releases, especially as we get censored more and more on big tech platforms, make sure to join our newsletter and our Telegram. You'll find the links on thelightleaders.org. And feel free to contact me directly too, whether it's for feedback or potential collaborations. Thank you again, and let's co-create the conscious new earth together.